Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I am your host, JP, joined by co-host, as always, Nick Martin. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man.
We are on a crazy run today of podcast episodes. Now, yes. This one is appearing later in the future from the last one you've heard, but it happened on the same day because we are on the road in Vegas at WC Customs. It's right down there. WS, I had it right the first time.
WS Customs, yeah.
God. And with us today, I'm pretty excited for this guest. He is humanitarian. He's an athlete. He's a two-time world friggin' champion from the Los Angeles Lakers and one hell of a model American. But most importantly, he's a dad. Everyone, welcome to the show, Jordan Farmar. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Welcome. I'm doing well. I appreciate you guys for having me, man. Thank you so much for the warm welcome.
Oh, man, we don't get guest alike of you very often.
Well, I appreciate it.
And that's actually, we do. But, you know, I just want to make you feel
real. Make you feel good. I know, like, I'm just a regular guy, regular dad like the rest of us.
That's exactly. Awesome, man. Yeah. I saw you pulled up in a Tesla Model Y dual motor performance, Nick.
That's what we're getting, right?
No, that's the plan.
Okay.
And I just got to ask how you like that car right off the bat.
I love it. I'm a early Tesla adopter from the beginning. I told you I would rather bought the stock than the car way back when. But, I've had a Tesla since they came out, and the Model Y is no slouch, especially the performance model. It's really special. Combination between, you know, technology and performance,
right?
And safety and everything, convenience. Autopilot's awesome.
Oh,
there's
nice.
So many cool features about it. Yeah, I'm a big electric car advocate. So,
We're ready, we're hitting Jordan up, and we're gonna figure this
no,
out.
I'll let you guys go spinning around.
I will take you up on that. I ain't even kidding. As soon as we're done, we're gonna film it too. That'll be two guests and two cars that they've owned in a row. Yeah. We just had Brian Lindsay on.
More interviews at auto shops.
Right.
We just need to move in down here and.
I think it might happen if I can convince the lady. So, Jordan, obviously the premise of this podcast is we try to stay all things dad, although I will throw you on a little fun fact. Every single episode we have ever done always goes off the rails, so we're not going to talk dad the entire time, unless it happens, and then you could be the first. But I'd also like to point out, too, that you did spill some beans right before we started the show that this is actually your very first podcast.
It is. Yeah. I've been approached many times to, one, do my own and
Right.
my own content. And then two, I've been asked a few times to do other people's that the timing hadn't ever worked out. And so this timing worked out. I'm happy to be here, and this is my first one.
Wow.
Well, awesome.
You know what? Here.
I'm honored. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's people clapping. Okay. You got cheers and hoorah. We got to get this man some cans.
Hold on. Let me text Ben real quick.
So let's talk dad. First off, you are a father, obviously. You're on the show. How many kids do you have?
I have two girls.
Two girls. What are their ages?
They are 7 and 10 right now.
7 and 10. So you and I, we got something in common.
What's that?
My baby girl is 7 years old, almost 8. And I've got a son who's 10.
Yeah.
Isn't it the coolest thing in the world being a father to daughters?
Absolutely. You know, every athlete especially wants a son to carry on their name.
Right.
Play just like whatever sport they played. And I was the same way prior to my daughter being born. But once my first daughter was born, flip switch, and it was completely different. I could care less, boy or girl. I'm just extremely happy to have two amazing, beautiful, healthy young girls. And they're growing into little women fast.
Yeah. And how has this last year been for not only you and your family, but the kids and the pandemic? And
we're more fortunate than most, you know, and we're very blessed. Our lifestyle is not something that everyone had to deal with. We homeschool naturally.
Right.
So outside of just COVID, we didn't have to take our kids out of school and figure out that whole debacle that most people did have to deal with. So for us, we're a very free roaming, we call ourselves the rebel family. We kind of like moved to our own tune, our own drum, and that kind of stayed consistent. But it was difficult that we couldn't do the things that we would normally do, like everybody else, you know, just having places to go, things to do. But in terms of their like everyday activities and their schooling and all that stuff, it remained pretty much consistent for us.
Well, that is good.
That's awesome.
That's good to hear. And personally, I feel along those lines of the same thing. Is we were very fortunate enough to that, you know, my job's, you good? Can you hear anything in there? How about this? That's another beautiful thing about a podcast. We ain't live.
Yeah,
we could stop in the middle of this and fix things out.
I can't hear anything. Oh, you pulled someone out.
I pulled his out.
Yeah, you pulled me out.
No worries, though. I trust that your applause is valid. There it goes. I can hear that.
Good.
I'm good.
All right. Back to your regularly scheduled broadcast. I've got a few jobs, and during this past year, I was able to do the same thing as well, provide for them and, you know, do our thing. But what really scares and bothers me is the fact that they won't, this year, what has it done psychology to not only our kids, but, I mean, everywhere? What has it done to our kids out there? And only time will tell.
Only time will tell. I mean, I think that what we learn as parents early on is that kids are resilient.
Yes.
And they figure things out. And I know a lot of people do hold on to a lot of childhood traumas late in life, but early on, I mean, kids can figure out how to get through anything. And they've been rolling with the punches and done an amazing job and made it easy for us as parents to kind of navigate through this unknown.
Right. It's crazy.
It's been weird, yeah.
So our our girls, are they athletes in the making?
They have athletic ability, but they don't love it.
No?
No, they don't. They love Broadway. They love to perform. That is their thing. They've done 8 or 9 different shows, ranging from like 6-year-old to 10-year-old, put on 2-hour performances, costume changes, set changes.
Oh, wow.
It's called Broadway Kids Academy.
Right.
And it's been great. That's kind of what they've gravitated towards. I've exposed them to sports, soccer, basketball, all kind of stuff like that. And they've really wanted to do their own thing. And that's what they choose to do, and support them doing it.
And, yeah, you're happy to.
Absolutely.
And I have a sneaky suspicion that once they just get a little bit older and they start actually going, let's search up daddy.
Oh, they're very aware.
Yeah.
They travel with me. They live in other countries playing basketball. And
right.
They went to all the games. So they're very aware. And they've done it for that reason, to like, oh, well, I should try it too, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they enjoy it, but they just don't love it the way they do performing.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Hey,
to each their own. Like, I want them to find their own path. You know, my dad played professional baseball, and for me, it was like I wanted to play basketball strictly to be different, strictly to do, you know, my own thing and find my own lane. So if that's their way of doing a similar thing, I'm okay with it.
Well, you did pretty decent in finding your own lane, man.
I did all right. We argue about it all the time. He's like, you'd still be playing for the Dodgers right now, sitting in center field, hanging out. Like, we argue about it all the time.
So, you could be.
Yeah, yeah, so
imagine if you played for the Dodgers in this last 10-year stretch.
That would have been fun.
Whew. Anyway,
my career was no slouch. It was very fun. I'm very blessed, and I had an amazing run for sure.
Yes, you did. I was kind of pissed off when you left the Lakers, though. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm a huge Laker fan.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's a tough.
But I get it, man. I get it. Business.
Yeah, for
right?
Sure.
So I'm going to bring up Kobe later because that's a rough subject, man. Even still, I can't even imagine for you guys. But that team, that era, I was in my 30s. and just, oh, and that buddy Doug who just left, I can't tell you how many times we sat around, though, just like watching you guys and just in you. I mean, big fan. Mm-hmm. Big fan. I don't fanboy much these days because I've been doing a career in radio and everyone comes in and et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't fanboy when you pulled out earlier, but I'm literally fanboying right now, and I don't know what's happening. It's
surreal, man, because when you're doing it, you're doing your job, right?
Right.
So you're not really realizing the impact you're having on people, and especially being a member of the Lakers when we're winning.
Yep.
Everybody sees it, you know, and so it was really fun to be a part of, but then after talking about things like the Kobe incident and stuff like that, to where more and more you start noticing people not having a problem with reaching out and telling you how much you meant to them, right? Because you kind of don't get to, what do you say, like smell the roses while you're still around kind of thing.
Right. You never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. So people have a hard time while everything's all good saying, like, you know, you meant a lot to me. You were very instrumental in my development, my childhood, my 30s, whatever the time frame was. And so I really got inundated with a lot of that information when tragedies happen, right?
Right.
People were reaching out saying, you know, just thinking about that Laker team and me sitting down with my family and sitting in front of the TV and beating Boston in the championship or whatever their specific anecdote was, I got a lot of that feedback. So that really let me know how much people held on to what we were doing at the time.
Well, we're on the topic. We might as well. I'm going to ask, how did that personally affect you that day last year when you found out about Kobe?
Yeah, it was terrible. My mom was the first one to call me. She's like, did you hear about Kobe? And I'm thinking, like, you know, she's just reading up on some gossip or some news or something like that. And I had no idea. And so then I started following up, trying to get updates as to what happened. Did they figure out if it was true or not, if it was a hoax or all that stuff. It was terrible. He was my first idol and one of my best friends. You know, it's like somebody I tell people all the time, I was 8 years old. In eighth grade at the 2000 championship when they won, right? So I'm watching the parade, I'm watching them win, and then a few years later, I'm on the team and I'm on the float with them, right?
Right.
So he was somebody I really looked up to growing up, and then had the opportunity to spend 5 years of my life with him every day and do some historic, amazing things together. So it was extremely hard. I can't imagine what it was like for his family and his girls. And I was messed up for quite a while about it, and still, you know, thinking about it is tough. But if anybody would want you to move on and keep going on with life and be tough and be strong and, you know, make the most out of what we have left, it would be him for sure.
So. Just a true testament to who the man was. Mm-hmm. That it literally affected almost everyone who knew him. Period.
Even if you didn't know him,
right? But like, or you knew of
if you knew
him
of him, yeah.
How much that just
it was
resonated.
An instant global impact.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You could see it, and you see people that are pop stars or whatever, Michael Jackson or Prince or whatever. But for some reason, Kobe resonated with the entire world.
Yeah,
like the
whole
world shut down. It doesn't matter if you were playing basketball or soccer in Brazil. Like they were doing something to show their love and pay their respect. So. You never really know the impact that he had until something tragic had to happen. And it's just tough to think about for sure.
2020 was just a bunch of garbage. And it started with Kobe.
Yeah.
Everything just went straight down.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we are back in. Let me reel this out. We'll get back into happier stuff.
Yeah.
Your daughters.
Yeah.
So, your reaction when you found out you were going to be a dad for the first time.
I was ecstatic. I mean, you know, at the time, my wife and I were together. We were young. I was 23. She's a couple years older than me. And, we're moving on with life. Everything was good. I was playing for the Lakers and just adding to our family. You know, we thought we were ready. Fortunately, we're ahead of the schedule for most people. I'm sure at 23, some other people would be terrified. But,
right.
You know, I was pretty ready. And, it was an amazing experience, you know. Fun fact is that I delivered both of my children at home in our bedroom. We did home birth.
Oh, wow.
And so that was really a cool experience. Our first one was a water birth.
My daughter was a water birth, first and I one. Caught her.
Yeah.
Well, if that's what you want to call
you
it.
Catch, exactly. that's what it's called.
Uh-huh.
Caught her. My second one was planned on being a water birth, but I'm filling up the tub, and she's like, it's not happening. It's showtime.
Right.
Showtime. So my older daughter, Phoenix, was... three at the time, and she would, you know, read to her sister and say, you know, it's your older sister, Phoenix. I can't wait to meet you. And so while the pregnancy and the birth was happening, actually, she's standing right next to me as she's coming out, and she's like, oh, there's my sister. So
oh,
it was, like,
wow,
really cool
man. That's
for her to be part of it and get a chance to see and not be, like, grossed out or scared because we kind of prepared her throughout the whole time, and she was more excited to be a part of the whole process. So that was really cool.
That's awesome. Something that not a lot of families – either A, think about doing, or if they do, there's such a stigma they put behind it that they don't do it. And I think that's wrong. I think that's beautiful. That's a memory that not only for you and the lady and the wife, but sisters.
Yeah.
And big
absolutely.
Sister is going to hold that. I mean, literally rest of her life. That's the instant connection right there.
Absolutely. She's very, I'm glad the younger one wasn't born first, because my older daughter is very maternal, very empathetic.
Right.
Like, has feelings for other people. My youngest thinks this whole place is built for her. That's just, their personalities are very different. So I'm glad the nurturing motherly figure of the two of them was born first.
Well, so here's my youngest.
Hi, this is Avery. Thanks for listening to my dad on Dadcast.
She's exactly the same way. The world is hers.
Yes.
So I can imagine if we got our daughters together at the same age, that might be one of those A-type personality conflicts. What's going to happen? It would make for some great video.
Yeah, for sure.
Nick Martin.
What's up?
You tell me, brother.
I was just thinking my little guy that you guys just met is the same way.
Yeah.
The world revolves around him.
But he doesn't know that
No,
yet.
He knows. Oh, he so knows.
They definitely know.
Oh, he knows. Yeah. No, we were actually thinking about doing the home birth thing because of COVID and stuff, and we're like, how do we get all of her family, because she wanted her mom to be there and that kind of stuff. And the doctor's like, no, it's just you and your husband. That's it.
Yeah.
And it almost wasn't even me. It was just going to be her. And so it was like, oh, my God. Then I chickened out, and I'm like, no, we need a doctor. I watched a lot of ER, but, you know.
I don't think I can handle it. You have a midwife.
Yeah.
And they have what's called a doula.
Right.
Usually, and a doula is like more of like a spiritual coach. So a doula was somebody that we spent a lot of time with prior to the actual birth itself to prepare me to how to support her through this. Like, you know, I'm not doing anything really, but saying you're doing a great job.
Yeah, coach.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, right?
Right.
So she's doing all the hard work, but my wife and her family were a little scared at first. And we talked about it, and it's like, we don't live our life in fear. They've been delivering babies for thousands of years.
Yeah.
We live around the corner from a hospital. If something goes wrong, the staff will say, hey, it's probably a good idea to go over to the hospital.
Right. Okay.
So we had a lot of things to, like, fall back on.
Okay.
And she was healthy. She was a good candidate for a home birth, and she was up for it. She's a yoga instructor. She's a doula now herself.
Okay.
So she's very much a good candidate for it. It's not for everybody, but
it
kind of fell right into place. And it was like, you know what? We're not going to let fear dictate our life and how we do this. And but there was definitely a fear-based conversation early on in the process, for sure.
Yeah, no, I was definitely the chicken. In the
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not, no.
Most guys are not the chickens, but they get grossed out by it, or they don't know if they'll perform when the moment matters.
Like, what happens if something goes wrong and then, like, you're relying on me? I'm like, I didn't go to med school.
You do have a little bit of help with you. You're not completely alone in the dark, but...
Okay. Yeah, so we're doing IVF again.
The women's body is amazing, like... It figures it out for the most part. I mean, I know I'm sure there are some horror stories with some unfortunate incidents during childbirth, but for the most part, the way it's supposed to work naturally and when it does happen that way, there's not much you and I really have to do.
Okay. Yeah, so we're actually doing IVF again. We go and do the transfer in May.
Nice.
So, so we're talking about it again, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. What if there's, like, twins or triplets in there this time?
Just one after the other, like a water ride, yeah.
May I impose a bit of advice?
I got butterfingers. So I was like, whoops.
I can almost assure you this opportunity will not come up again in the sense that it's your wife and your direct child. Maybe a grandkid down the line, something like that. But take the opportunity, man. Face that fear. Unlike what you decided not to do earlier and get in the Shelby Cobra, face the fear and take the ride, son.
No, I would honestly have to second that. Because if you're... you're up for it, and you can muster up the strength to get through it all. And she's up for it, and she's a good candidate for it.
Uh-huh.
The experience is so special. I mean, because not only the actual birth itself, right, but you're in your home. You're in your bed. Your family's downstairs in the living room.
Yeah.
You deliver the baby, and you get to lay with it for a little bit and say, okay, I thought his name was going to be John, but he looks like an Eric to me or whatever. And you get to, like, sit there with your baby, and it's not in some hospital bed that they're just going to... you know, change over as soon as you get out and put another family in there. It's really, like, a rewarding, comfortable experience.
Okay.
You get your own snacks, your own food. She wants something throughout the process. Uh-huh. It's very just home. You're at home, you know. And it's,
all right. It's so I'm gonna do some more research.
I vote if it's two children, two boys, Jordan and Farmar. All right?
Don't put that pressure on.
Nah. How about Jordan? All right, can we do one of those?
Jordan's awesome, man. I was going to be Jordan if I was a boy or a girl. So
yeah,
yeah.
Now was that after the Michael Jordan? Was that your parents or?
It was. Yeah.
Well, that's a hard one to follow up, man.
I know.
You did pretty good though.
I did my best.
You did real damn good.
I'm not done. No, I'm not done. I mean, basketball is done, but I'm not done.
Basketball is done. When was your last professional NBA game? Not across the pond.
NBA game was 2017 with Sacramento.
Sactown, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I remember watching you at UCLA, man.
And they had a good run this year.
Oh, God. I don't even get me started. We could go on and on. this isn't a sports podcast, but that game.
I'm feeling a little bad. I like the Lakers, but I am a just diehard Blazer fan.
That's all good.
I mean, it's
a great organization. They've had some bad luck over the years.
They have.
They're like, they kind of remind me of Gonzaga in college basketball. Everybody's second favorite team.
Yeah.
Like, if you're from Spokane, you love Gonzaga. You're probably from the Pacific Northwest. You probably love Gonzaga or maybe UW or whatever. But everyone else in the country loves Gonzaga. And I feel that same way about Portland. Like, every other team has their home team, and then the Blazers are like your second favorite team.
Right. Unless they're playing your favorite team, then it's like, oh, no. Jordan, tell us, is it the Farmar Foundation that you've got here in Vegas?
Yeah, the Farmar Foundation. It's actually based in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I did a lot of stuff with the Mattel Children's Hospital at UCLA. Where we would bring kids out to games. You know, they'd be sick and in the hospital for a long time. Them and their family would be able to come out to games and hang out with the whole pregame experience and, you know, shoot around, warm-ups, all that stuff, get autographs from all the other guys. And then for children who were there for a lot longer, we would – this is before, like, FaceTime and iPads were, like, popular. But
yeah.
We would get computers with video chat capabilities and be able to, for them to spend time with their families if they couldn't afford, you know, cool. to for the families to come and visit mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And then I opened up a learning center where kids in underserved neighborhoods can come in and excel in education stuff.
And is that still going on in L.A.?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got going on here in Vegas?
I haven't.
Your new hometown, right?
So foundation-wise, nothing.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't done anything and moved the foundation-wise. But Vegas is home now. We've been here for 7 years, and it's gone by so fast, it doesn't even feel like that because the first few were towards the end of my career. So I was playing, and
right.
I would come here yeah. in the off-season. But now we've established roots here, and this is home, and this is where, you know, I'm going to raise my kids, and they're going to say they're from Vegas, not from L.A., right? So, yeah, I'll start doing more and more on the foundation and the give-back side. But I've been establishing myself as a builder. I'm building high-end homes now, and so...
A builder, cool. Like, literally, yeah. You're going out and doing the work?
I built a house for myself. This is how it all started. I built a house
okay.
for myself. I bought a house on the other side of town. Hated it. Hate where it was, didn't enjoy it. Was like, I got to get back to L.A. This isn't for me. This is what I'm thinking. This is a few years ago. So I buy land in L.A., and I start designing plans. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to build my own house in Tarzana.
Okay.
A neighborhood that
right.
I went around the corner from where I went to middle school. Like, I'm going to go back home. And so throughout that process, I'm going back and forth to L.A., and it's like traffic, and it's noisy, and people are just running around. It's the hustle and bustle of L.A. You know what
yeah.
it is, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just like... This isn't for me either. Like, this is not what I'm looking for either. So I end up selling that land and buying a lot here. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to build here in Vegas in a different location.
Right.
Now we're in Southern Highlands. And so I build that house. I finish it. It's beautiful. I lived there for 6 months. Finish it right before the pandemic. And then so people start moving from California, like mass exodus out of California.
Yeah.
So my real estate agent, who's been buying all my properties for me here or helping me purchase them at least, says, would you mind if I show your property off market? There's a lot of people from California who are interested in buying, and if they make you an offer you can't refuse, you can sell it. If not, you can say, go, you know, go do your own thing or find another house to live in.
I get what you're packing on there.
Yeah, I guess it can't hurt. They can look at it. I'll go do something for an hour or whatever. So I was there for 6 months. Someone knocks on the door one day and says, can we look at your house? They look at it, and they write an offer that night, and it's much more than I thought the house was worth. And I said, you can have it. Like, I'll do it again.
Right.
So in that process, the same real estate agent had a client who she's selling a house for, and they want to build a home. And she's like, do you know any good builders? She's like, well, Jordan's not a builder per se, but he just built a house, and they had walked their dog around my neighborhood and watched my house go up. And they loved the house, and they knew what she was talking about.
Right.
So they come and knock on my door and say, hey, would you be willing to build me a house? And I said, I can do it. I'm not a builder, but sure, like, I'm going to build my own. I can build yours at the same time, whatever. That process, I'm like, you know what? Let me just do this right. So I go and I get my general contractor's license. And now I'm a licensed builder, and I will build high-end homes in my neighborhood, basically.
You can do that anywhere now.
I can do it anywhere in Vegas
right.
now. But yeah, my plan is to make a living and never have to leave my gates.
That's
like,
awesome.
Do some amazing things in our uh-huh. There's a lot of opportunity in my specific community that I live in. Southern Highlands Golf Club here in Vegas is one of the really
don't,
nice private
sorry man
clubs.
Don't mind, we are doing this inside of a custom
yeah,
hot rod shop
the,
and it looks to me like they are starting up a V8 of some sort down there. So everyone listening, I apologize, but that's the beauty of being on the road with Dadcast in Vegas. You get to talk and hang out with Jordan Farmar, who's a general contractor now,
yeah, yeah.
And get distracted by vehicles. Now, are you passionate about
very
this?
Much so.
So it's not even work for you?
It is not. It's a lot of work.
It's
definitely a lot of work to do it, but it feels similar to basketball, to where you're enjoying what you're doing, mm-hmm. that it's not, how do I say it, stressful. I mean, even though there is a lot of things, a lot of problems to be solved, I feel like more of a music producer than a builder, right?
Right.
I take very talented individuals who do different things, and I put them together to make this beautiful symphony. And so somebody, you know, lays the concrete, then another person frames the house, then the stucco guy, then the window guy, and together, at the end of it, we have the song that we're trying to create, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my job is to organize things, I hang out with guys on the job site, make sure they're having a good time, make sure they're passionate about what they're doing, they do it properly. And just try to build and produce a better quality product that's been out here, because I'm not doing it strictly for the money, right? That's not the motivating factor for me. It's something that engages me mentally. For my own house, I built all the cabinetry in the house. I built all the woodwork. So I set up shop in the garage, and me and my partner, we built all the stuff. So that house was very much hands-on. These other houses probably won't be as much. I have my partner still who does woodworking stuff, but I don't know how much I would personally do moving forward. But yeah, it is very, very rewarding.
Has HGTV become your new favorite station?
I was watching that a long time before I started. Like, while I was playing, I'm always watching DIY Network.
I love that. That's a guilty pleasure of mine.
That's what started it. I mean, I'm like, every house I'm living
in, I could do that.
Why did they build it this way? I should change it. I will change it. And then I end up doing it. I'm like, I'm tired of changing it. I just want to build one the way I want it.
From scratch, yeah. So
that was kind of the process.
How many houses have you built now so far?
I built one from the ground up, which was my own.
Right.
But I've remodeled and done everything that it takes to build a house 15 different times. And houses all over the place. So, yeah, I've been well-versed in that. And, I actually built this house here in Vegas out of concrete. I was the first... It's called ICF, isolated concrete forms. Uh-huh. It's very popular up in Canada or hurricane areas and stuff like that, but it's concrete. It's not going anywhere.
You see a lot of that in South Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And so a lot of people use it for retaining walls, and they build in hillsides. So they have like a walkout basement where you have to hold back that hillside scarp or whatever. And yeah, I decided to build the entire house out of it. So it was literally like solid as a
Have you named your company?
Yes. So my partner, his name's Matthew Hoy. He was a high-end furniture builder.
Whoa. What's happening now?
No wheels on the bottom of whatever they're driving. He was a high-end furniture builder. He's from Michigan.
All right.
His furniture company was called Third Coast Collection, because they call Michigan the Third Coast.
Okay.
So we just divvied off of that and called it Third Coast Homes. And that's what it is. He is my woodworking division of our home building. So we have all the closets, all the cabinetry, all the built-ins, all the kitchens, everything is in-house, which makes it really easy for quality control, and we can save a bunch of money by not outsourcing that kind of stuff. So
I guess that's way better than championship contractor.
Exactly. That was the first choice, but I deferred to him.
I thought that was a win right there until, all right.
Background, I've done 20 years furniture sales, so I've heard of that company.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, yeah. Very, very good stuff.
Yep.
So...
Yeah. 20 years. That's why it's actually
25.
So you're so stout.
Wow. Furniture and appliance sales, yeah.
It goes by fast, though. You just do it year after year, and you look back, and you're like, same with me living here. To say 7 years sounds crazy to me, but it feels like it was just yesterday.
I was 17, my first furniture store I worked in.
Yeah.
And to put that in perspective, you've lived here as long as your youngest daughter's been alive.
Exactly.
7 years ago. Same with me. She's going to be 8 next month, and it's just... Wow, it just goes.
It's so weird. Yeah, she's 22.
There's only like 4 or 5 more years until she hates me.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully never. Yeah.
No.
God forbid that, but yeah.
They don't hate you.
No, they just
I know.
They just dislike you a whole lot.
They find That's their own all. Path.
dislike
I don't
you
know
a
about
lot.
That, man. I think girls and dads are special. Like, daddy's
They
girls,
are.
Right? It's a different kind of bond.
Yeah.
And I think they'll always know that they can come back and have you to lean on and have you for support, for sure, at least with my girls, and that's our relationship. Now, hopefully it stays that way, but I'll do whatever I can to ensure that.
When they get about 16, it gets a little weird.
I believe it.
There's a few hours of the day where they're just like, you don't understand anything, Dad. I know.
Everything I'm going through, you have never even heard of.
Exactly. That's right.
There's no possible way you could ever understand what's
happening.
We thought
the same things, though.
I know. Yeah.
We thought the exact same.
Exactly.
And
we
now,
did outsmart our parents, and we knew, and they're sitting there laughing. I laugh. I mean, I see, and I'm just like, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
But shouldn't we be able to have learned since we know that? It's that crazy circle.
Yeah.
That it cracks me up.
My parents say it's karma. It's just
karma coming back
That's
at
right.
you.
Exactly.
Exactly. All the hell we caused.
You were a little asshole when you were a kid.
Exactly.
So
it's coming back.
Is your knee hurting right now?
A little bit.
Is there something going on with the knee?
Yeah,
because
my MCL. I'm trying to play basketball to stay in shape and all that stuff. But
because
I'm all good.
You're lucky then, because you should have heard all the trash talk, Nick.
Trash.
Nick was telling me for 3 weeks building up to this.
Yeah,
that's actually a lie. Every time we talked about it, we did say point blank, it doesn't matter if it's 1-on-1. Even if it's 2-on-1, okay? Maybe if you could post him out because you're wide and you pass it to me, maybe we'll get one layup in. But
dude, I'm old and slow. It's not going to happen.
And I'm old and fat. So, you know, it's probably a good thing we're not playing this one-on-one game today.
We'll do it again.
We'll be back in June, man. You're going right. to be? Oh, and I'd also like, I'd like to do this on the air because there's proof that it actually happened.
Okay.
So, you know, he's scared. He's a little scared. He's nervous. He's like, okay, what's about to happen here? I'm inviting every guest who's been on the show back for a very, very short episode via Zoom, Father's Day special.
All right.
So everyone's like Randy Couture, yourself, Stormy Warren, Brett Young, Brian.
And are we all going to be on the same episode? We're all, like 50 little
Yeah, there's going to be like 20.
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly.
And just wish each other Happy Father's Day, and then also wishing all the fathers out there that deserve it
yeah.
a Happy Father's Day. And that's probably going to be early June when we do that. Right. So. Yeah.
But you're coming back out here for that?
No, we're going to do that via Zoom.
We have some
other stuff coming out here to play basketball with me.
Yes.
That's the only reason.
As long as your knees healed.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need any excuses when 47-year-old JP, fat guy.
If it's not healed by then, we got some real, okay. real issues. It's probably not a strained MCL.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I just want to relive that three-point shot, man. Oh. I'm drinking, Nick. You got to take over.
Yeah, no, we got some really big things happening in June, so we'll be out doing some more interviews, kind of hopefully shooting an episode for a TV show that we're going to pitch.
That's awesome,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
No details on that, Nick.
No details yet. But
you got to stick. Somebody's
going to
steal
it. It's going to be awesome.
He might be a good candidate.
You are, yes. You would actually be a great candidate.
All right, we'll get details.
Don't be scared. We'll talk later about that.
We'll talk about off the thing. Yeah.
Wow. Lakers.
Hashtag ESPN. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Jersey. Okay. You went to Jersey. Now they're Brooklyn.
Yeah.
How do you feel about what's going on in the NBA today, right now, this second? If you were to call it, it just as far as the play and not any politics or anything. I'm talking about.
I wish I was playing right now.
Who's going to win? Who's the finals? Is it Brooklyn, LA?
A lot of things have to go into it, right? You have to be healthy and you have to be playing well at the right time. Unfortunately, both those teams are battling injuries.
Mm-hmm.
They're the favorites. I would say the Lakers, defending champions, would be my favorite going into the season. But seeing all the stuff they've dealt with lately and LeBron's injured and Anthony Davis, I think he's coming back tonight.
Yeah,
it's
his first
game in a long time. So, and then on the Brooklyn side, I mean, Harden's going down with hamstring injuries. Mm-hmm. And KD just got back. So that stuff matters when you go through the playoffs. You know, it's a hamstring away from being a completely different team. And so if both teams are healthy – I've got to say the Lakers.
Okay, but they're not healthy. So what's wrong with Jordan Farmore maybe making an appearance for the playoff run?
Long. I've been ready for years.
Would you do it? Could you do it right now? NBA team calls you up and says, hey, man, we need you.
100%.
Oh, it's so awesome.
I could do it. Will I get that call? Probably not.
And why, let's just generalize it. Not you in particular, but I'd say you're just a bit past prime, but no way an absolute...
Very, very difficult business. And my position in particular, like backup point guards,
right?
They're only truly valuable on a team that's trying to win. And if you look at this landscape of the NBA, there are only probably usually like five or six teams that actually really feel they have a chance to win. And so as you get older, your minimum salary goes up and your value to all the rest of the teams goes out the window. They'd rather, instead of having an old guy on their team, they'd rather give it to a 19-year-old rookie and see what he can do with those same opportunities,
right,
the same minutes, and maybe they hit, you know, a diamond in the rough kind of thing. And if they're not trying to win in your championship experience, your expertise in, you know, being in that locker room or whatever, don't carry as much weight on those other teams, then you have very limited opportunities to the good teams. And the good teams are usually filled from top to bottom, you know, everything that they need. So it's happened before, but that's the reason why there's a lot of guys who are in my position who are really good basketball players later in their career who just don't have those opportunities because there's only so many jobs available.
That's disappointing. I'm not going to name names, but I could. I got a list right here that I'm like, Jordan Farmar better.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Better.
But you got to respect the game because I'm sure when I was playing, there's a older player, they felt the same way at that time.
Right.
So that kind of comes with the territory, and you just got to make the most you can with the opportunities you were given and roll with the punches after that, yeah.
And you know what? You got two rings.
I do.
Yeah, you played on the greatest team with some of the greatest players, so you got
that. Yeah, no, I was very, very fortunate, man. Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. So amazing. You didn't bring those rings with you today, did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. There's a picture right there.
Next time when we play.
Okay. Well, Nick, you're going to get run over.
I know.
Uh-oh. We got another. Oh, now the truck's in here. That thing's gorgeous. You know, I'm just going to show it. Look down there. All right. Yeah, I told you we were in a hot rod shop. All right, Nick.
Yes.
You got something. You got a dad joke for us?
I didn't bring the dad jokes this time. I kind of gave up on that book.
Okay, good.
Were you writing the book or you were reading
it? No. So my daughter for Christmas, we started this podcast last year and she's like super stoked on it. So she's 16. She got me a dad joke book for Christmas. She's like, Dad, you have to use, it's one a day for a whole year. Use it in the podcast. And I'm like, oh, okay.
And then you just gave up on it.
Oh, it's terrible. There has not been one good joke yet, dude.
They're pretty bad jokes, man.
It's the worst thing ever.
Got you. So maybe you need to write a better one.
That's what I'm telling JP. I'm like, let's get the podcast rolling.
It's hard.
Let's get the next step rolling.
365 good jokes.
Yeah.
But my plan is it's not hard to do 365 episodes of Dadcast.
That's true.
It's going to take, if we do one a week, that's going to take, 6 years? But at the end of that 6 years, if we get each guest to tell us one dad joke,
exactly.
Freaking pot of gold landmine right there, man.
We've got the retirement plan.
So does Jordan Farmar have a dad joke?
No, you can't just spring it on me. I'm saving it for Father's Day, especially.
Oh, okay. All right. There we go. All right. You heard it here first.
Yes.
Oh, you better practice. Yeah.
I'll get it ready.
There you go.
Yeah. So with your kids, 7 and 10, loving theater and stage and dad, they're very aware that dad is a superstar athlete, champion. Where is the, how do I word this correctly? Why don't you just give it a little nudge towards the athleticism? I mean, because especially when high school rolls around,
yeah.
Is that something that you, because me as a dad, I know my son, he's, especially in the last year, it's been difficult getting them outside because they're scared. And, you know, for the first 6 months, we didn't want them to go out anyway. But now that springtime's rolled around, it's nice out, it's getting difficult to get out, get off that computer, man, get off the Fortnite, go throw a football, go ride your bikes. When they get in high school, how is that for you? Are you going to give them a little bit of nudge and say, man, try to?
I really won't.
Not even let's go outside and throw a ball?
I mean, you guys can probably attest to this, that as parents, all you can want for your kids is the best, right? Mm-hmm. For them to be healthy and as happy as they possibly can be in their own lane, whatever their truth is, whatever they want to do with their life. I don't want to impose what I think would be a good option. And frankly, being a woman athlete isn't the most, how do I say it? Like, star-headed path.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's completely different if I had a son who wanted to play in the NBA or who had the potential to and then just needed a little nudge, right?
But right.
It's a lot different for women. You know, pro women's sports is not like you're an instant millionaire and the life is set forever or whatever. So that being said, you want them to find whatever they enjoy, whatever their path in life is. And so if they found it at a young age, and it may change completely by now in high school, they may gravitate back towards sports, right? But I want them to be the ones making that decision.
Right.
And then as involved and as much support as they want, I'll be there to provide it. But whether it's taking them to acting classes and singing classes and Broadway theater all the time and being the first dad in the first row crying when they bow together.
Oh,
and,
you know.
I'll still be there to support them whatever they decide, but I don't want it to be my journey that they're trying to live. I want them to do their own thing.
Has daddy cried?
Every time.
So my daughter.
Every time, man.
That's a thing,
And I'm not like a really sentimental, emotional guy at all, but every single
it's
time,
nuts,
man.
Right?
Cry,
dude,
it's
nuts,
right?
2 years ago, Avery, little, she won our community's Pear Blossom Junior Royalty Pageant. You can only enter when you're 5 years old, so you get one shot.
Yep.
And she won it. And I was just, I was a mess.
Yep.
And I've got video proof. I'll tag it up there. Now, it's, but my son, now, completely, I'm harder on my son.
Yeah.
I'm harder on him. I know where I was going now.
Okay.
Are there any possible sons in the future?
No, I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
That's it?
Yeah. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
Okay.
Honestly, like I feel that my girls are really amazing. That dynamic they have with one another is really special.
I'm not saying you're not missing out, but there's no want? Is this just
there's
not going to
no
happen?
Want. I don't want. I mean, you never know.
Nick,
though,
take notes.
You never know what can happen.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, it's not in the cars and in the plans for the future.
So I was done when my 14-year-old was born, right? I got fixed and everything. I got remarried. My wife didn't have any kids, and she's like, let's have a baby. And like, yeah. She's like, that's a deal breaker for me. I'm like,
no, I get it. That's why I said, right. You can never say never, yeah. But if you so, ask you yeah. however many years ago, if that was part of your plan.
Oh, no. Exactly. No, 5 years ago, hell no.
Exactly.
I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm all. I think,
you're fixed. Yeah. Yeah, you're done.
I'm golden. So, yeah, so no, I got unfixed, and
yeah.
Yeah.
You fixed the fix.
Yeah. We're on a whole nother journey.
Wow.
But I got to go back to the whole, like, pushing your kids into the sports thing. Like, I pushed my daughter to play softball, and it, like, it didn't work.
Yeah, I didn't.
So every time she fails or every time she doesn't do what she thinks I want, it's my fault.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, all right, don't pull out your guitar. Just get back to singing and doing what you want to do. I'm going to
back you up
100% on that. 100%.
Part of the struggle, part of the success is the struggle. And the only way you're going to put up with the struggle is if you love it.
Yeah.
If it's something that you're really passionate about, right? So
yeah.
My athlete, coach, dad side comes into play when they say they want to do Broadway or whatever, but then don't take time to study their lines or something like that, to where mm-hmm. I say, hey, man, like, you said you want this. Do you want – I can take you out tomorrow. We cannot do it. No. I want – okay, well, now
– yeah.
So I can push in that regard, right? But I'm not trying to push
my
own
agenda. Yeah, I guess you got to find a different way to push.
On what they – what path they choose. That's their own journey. And if they hate it, that's their own fault. Like, they, you know, they'll figure it out. Yeah. And I'll be there to support them. And I think as a parent and as a dad, the biggest thing I would tell any parent is to let your kids fail.
Mm-hmm.
Let them fail. Like, let them try whatever they want. But failing is where you learn the lessons. Failing is where you get some kind of, not with daughters, but I would say balls. But
yeah.
You have daughters. But yeah. You're
intestinal fortitude.
Yeah, your fortitude is really developed in those times of where everything's not all peaches and cream.
Right.
And so
And you also figure out your path that way, too. Like, you actually figure out what you want
to
do.
Like, because you have to be able to look failure in the face and say, I'm still going to go on because this is really what I want to do.
Right.
You know, how many dancers or actresses get cut? How many great actresses would get cut from movie roles and they have to go home and cry and say, oh, I'm not thin enough, or I'm not the right color, or I'm not whatever. And they might question their own abilities, but it might not have anything to do with that. And you have to be able to stomach that and move forward if that's the path they want to go. But that same analogy can be translated to any field that anybody wants to go into.
Do you have a good relationship with your father?
I do.
Did he push you in any way? Do you see yourself being the same father as your father was to you? Or
so my mom and dad divorced, so I didn't live in the house with my father. So my dad was always a huge part of my life. My mom remarried my stepdad, so my stepfather was more of my everyday father figure in the house. My dad was always kind of like my best friend, right? So we were always had a close relationship. I would go visit and see him every other weekend. I told you he was coaching baseball up in the Pacific Northwest, so I would go be the bat boy for those teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, really be around pro sports every day through my dad. But my daily life lessons of, like, do your homework, you know, have responsibilities, wash the dishes, whatever, was my stepfather who was in the house every day. So I was fortunate to have a man come into my house and raise me like I was his own son and you know, really instill some good values in me, and also have my dad be a very active part of my life and do the same. So I was fortunate to have two dads. And, I can't thank both of them enough.
That's good. I'm in that's literally the same position I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, my 6-year-old, she's got her dad, who's great. We get along. He's a good guy. But most of the time is, you know, home with mom and myself.
Yep.
And it could be difficult on the parent side.
Yeah.
This is something I didn't, you know, I was also a stepchild myself. Jokes now, get them out, redheaded stepchild. Okay? Heard it all before. But seeing this side of it as the father, trying to navigate being a parent to a stepdaughter who has a father in her life who's good.
Yep.
And try and because we're completely different. He does his way, I do my way, and then
100%.
And then guess what happens? Something's gonna come up. But my dad doesn't. And it's like, well, darling, this you're not at your dad's.
Yep.
You know, this is how it is here. Navigating that as they get older,
Only imagine, you know, during puberty and you're not my dad, or, you know, all those kind of conversations I'm sure a lot of parents have to deal with, step parents would have to deal with. But no, it takes a lot to raise somebody. It takes a lot to raise your own kids, but it takes a lot to raise somebody else's children as if they were your own and love them the same way. So hats off to you for that, man. Like,
thank
seriously,
you.
Like, it's a big deal.
It ain't easy, but it's worth it, man.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
The whole that's It's so worth it. That's why we kind of started this podcast.
Exactly.
And it's, and it's growing exponentially. Jordan friggin' Farmar's on it.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know if you understand how big of a deal this is for us, man.
I don't, because I'm just dad.
I hear you. And that's such a cool attitude that you have, because actually I've come across that more and more now as we're doing this. Everyone has such, not everyone, that's a terrible thing to say, but, you know, a lot of people have certain ideas and thoughts on how big athletes, celebrity people, movie stars, musicians, how they're not different people, man.
Yep.
I mean, they're a lot of them are, but for the most part,
we're all the same.
You're all exactly. And this show is helping prove that and humanizing.
You know what you just said first? You said we have Jordan Farmer on the show, right? But my kids don't know me as that. They know that's my name, but
right.
I'm just dad.
Yeah.
Right. And that's all they know you as. They did a little book report on their hero or whatever, and they chose me and all the stuff that I've done, right? But at the end of the day, they don't call me Jordan Farmer. They don't look at me like that. They just look at me as dad.
I just think it'd be awkward if I called you dad, man.
No, I, so, get, it. I get it. But I'm just saying, to the people that matter the most in your life, that's what you are. Like, my whole identity of a Laker, NBA player, whatever – they don't care anything about that. I just want to know, can they watch Netflix? Or,
Can I watch the YouTube channel?
Can I take them out to, ride bikes or whatever?
That's so awesome. You know, I'm not the level of you, but, within about 20-square-mile radius in Southern Oregon, I'm famous.
Because
I've been on radio for 20 years. So I can still attribute this. Mm-hmm. We'll go out somewhere in the kids, and hardly a day goes by. And we go, oh, JP, what's up? What's up, man? And my son looks at me. How does he know you?
Yep.
I'm like, I don't know. Yep. Kid, I don't know who that is. How does he know you?
Yep.
Radio, dude. Yeah. Come on, you know I'm on radio. It's like, oh, whatever. And then we just carry on, and dad is dad. And I wouldn't have it any other way, man.
Yeah, that's funny because, walking through a restaurant or a hotel or whatever, and someone who doesn't know you but recognizes you might call you from afar, Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And I can hear it, but I'm like going on with my life, and I realize I'm too far. I'm not going to turn around and run all the way back. So I'll keep walking. But my kids turn around.
And I'm right? Like, dang it.
Your name is not Jordan. Like, why are you turning around? And they start getting used to, like, okay, well, this is all part of it. Like, we're just going to continue on with our life. But to say that they look and, like, why do all these people ask you questions? Why do they come up to you and take pictures or whatever? And they're starting to really understand that what I did was pretty cool.
It was, man.
And it's impacted a lot of people.
Do you get stopped a lot still?
For sure. I mean, Vegas is damn near Southern California.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Laker fans, a lot of UCLA people. My journey, a lot like Lonzo Ball, who's currently in the NBA. He's playing for the Pelicans now, but going to high school in Southern California, then playing at UCLA, then getting drafted by the Lakers, they watch your development. They feel like they've been part of your growth and your life. And so they feel like they know you more so than another player who's just on the team.
Right.
They've seen you in high school and watched you be an All-American, and they see you in college and watching the national championship game, and they saw you play for the Lakers and win championships. So they feel like they've seen you progress, and hair on my face and all stuff. Like, I knew you before you had a beard or whatever, kind of stuff like that. And so, but this is like a transplant Laker community, and all the people from Southern California drive up to 15 and spend a lot of time here, so I get it all the time, for sure.
That's good stuff. Does it bother you sometimes?
If someone's rude with it, then of course.
And has that happened?
Of course, it's happened. But someone will come up to me while you're eating or something. You say, can I get an autograph or a picture? Say, sure, as soon as I'm finished eating, then I'll stop by and spend some time with you, right?
Yeah.
But for the most part, everyone's been cool. It's been a handful of times where people just been unruly, I would say.
Yeah, because, humans are, a lot of them out there are not the coolest people, man.
Yeah.
And
I would say more of the combative nature comes online. You know, it would come when they're not face-to-face or whatever.
Yeah.
The same guy that might take a picture with you might say something different on Twitter or whatever. Yeah. But in person, I think, for the most part, people have been pretty cool.
Good. Yeah. Nick?
No.
You got nothing for me?
I got nothing for you.
You're killing me, co-host.
Well, when we meet next time.
Yeah. Oh, Jordan, get some.
Think of more stuff.
That's right.
I
brought a baby to Vegas. Like,
yeah.
What idiot does that?
This guy. There's more to Vegas than just a strip, though. Man.
No, the plan was to work and not stay up all night and. I partied a lot harder with a baby than I did the last time I came to Vegas and actually partied.
You know what time I went to bed last night?
9:30.
Yeah.
Right.
You know why? So I got up at 2:30 and drove 13 and a half hours to get here.
You know what, because
I didn't want to bring all this on a plane.
Right. Yeah, no, I get it.
But and I also really like driving. It's kind of therapeutic for me, especially that trip
in the desert. Nice drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, no kids in the car.
There you go.
The lady screaming at me. So don't worry, I love them.
A little bit of therapy.
But yeah, yeah. But on the way home,
they're back with you.
My lady and my son.
Are we there yet?
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we stop at this bathroom 75 times? My 13-hour drive will be 16, 17 hours on the way home.
Yep.
All right.
So not too therapeutic that way.
Breaks and stops.
Oh, at least 87 of them.
Gotcha.
You know.
I got you.
Do you spend much time up in the Pacific Northwest anymore?
No, not much.
Ever? Young? Okay.
No. I mean, I don't have any ties. I had an uncle, Milt Davis, who played for the Colts, who had a ranch up in Eugene, Oregon, that
right.
I would go visit him every now and then, but he passed a couple years ago, so... Since then, and then COVID's happened, I haven't been up there.
Home of the Ducks?
Yeah.
How has... Well, we already asked that. But can you explain, basically, as a community, as a whole, as a town, as a whole, how has Vegas... Especially Vegas, it's very different than any other town in the entire planet.
Yeah.
How has this city affected and reacted and recovered from COVID?
Oh.
That you've seen...
It's hard to say. I mean, in the beginning, everybody was scared. Nobody knew what was going on.
Right.
Just kind of going off whatever they heard on the media. As it's kind of played itself out, people have been more and more lax and I think would be respectful to the social distancing and mask requirements and capacity requirements and all that stuff. But for the most part, we've been what I would say is like open. Like it's felt like it hasn't like shut down completely aside from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can still go to restaurants. You can still do things. I mean, okay, Vegas as a whole, we didn't have any nightclubs. The casino shut down for the first time in history.
Right.
What else? The shows, like all the Cirque du Soleil shows and no sporting events, no conventions. So Vegas, like what makes Vegas Vegas and why people come here was kind of shut down. But the local community still continued, right? And
right.
We could still go to local restaurants and do a lot of things where everyday life didn't feel so so much different because we don't. I would say for probably 90% of people that live in Vegas don't spend a tremendous amount of time on the Strip, right? So that's more the tourist community. But there are a lot of people who live in Vegas who work there, and those people were really affected by
yeah.
not having mm-hmm. their jobs and their livelihoods open. But I think for the most part, it's been okay. I know it's been tough for a lot of people in a lot of places, and I would assume that they've been hit harder than we have. But I know that the Strip drives so much of our economy here mm-hmm. that I'm probably speaking from a little bit of a skewed perspective. A little bit.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. A couple more questions and then we're going to let you get the heck out of here.
All right.
Your daughters. Now, we know they're not huge at wanting to play sports. We've come to that conclusion. But do they like sports?
They do.
Who's their football team?
They do. They're not fanatics of anybody, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they know enough about... They don't follow enough to love people. They like the Aces, the Las Vegas Aces, the women's team.
Uh-huh.
Had season tickets and would take them to all the games, and they love that. They love to participate in the community in different ways, but I don't think that they have a favorite team, favorite player in any sport, really.
Does Daddy have a favorite football team?
I mean, I would have to say the Raiders now.
Now?
I mean, they have to be. I mean,
who was it? Before.
I wasn't a fanatic. I love sports, right?
I love how he says fanatic, too. Do you know fan is literally short for fanatic?
Yep.
Yeah.
But if you say, who are you a fanatic of in football? You go, whoa, you're making me sound like a crazy person.
Yeah, no, for real.
I guess I'm a crazy person.
Being a player, I think, really gave me a hard time to, like, get on the other side of that.
Really? Even somebody. For a different sport?
Yeah. While I was playing, I think more now that I'm done and now I'm older, I love to go to the hockey games. I'm excited for the Raider games. Like, I want to be a part of the community from the other side
mm-hmm.
and really appreciate what these guys are doing because I know what they're going through on the other end, right? So I definitely do appreciate it, and I watch sports in a different light now that I'm out of and removed from it.
It may get one pay-per-view by, but I am all in. Derek Carr versus Jordan Farmar one-on-one.
For basketball?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're gonna whoop them, but there's
I would hope so.
There's a couple of my favorite players, man. So that would be.
I mean, I think you're talking about like a football accuracy contest or whatever. He got me beat, but
I would hope so.
I would hope so. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jordan Farmar and I are now best friends because he's a Raider fan.
I might have to switch my team, but then I'd be like a bandwagon.
What is your team now? You're Niners. Seahawks?
No, you're I'm a Niners, yeah. Okay. I grew up, so my grandparents live in the Bay Area, so every summer I'd go down
but
there
for the
summer.
But you chose the Niners over the Raiders in the Bay Area.
I did.
Okay. Because yeah. why? Because your parents?
Because they played on half of a baseball field. I actually
didn't bother me none.
Yeah, yeah, Raiders fans don't care.
I was L.A., though. My dad took me to L.A. Raider games.
Awesome, right? You guys...
I've seen pictures. I've seen. Yeah, so sweet. I want to go inside more than anything
in
the world.
Season tickets, man, and it just sucks. Like the first season, it was COVID, right? Yeah. And they shut everything down. So we've been really excited to get it started and go.
Did you get? Now you have season tickets, but did you also buy your seats?
Yeah.
So okay,
you
just like Brian Lindsay, who we had in here.
You
got to
buy your
same
seats
deal.
For 30 years.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Yeah. Not cheap, man, but worth it.
Worth it. I hope so.
Dedication, right there.
I mean, you got those seats. For, I mean, like you said, those.
There's not that many games, man. There's really. 8 games in preseason. So okay. 8 weekends is all you're talking about. It's not like it's a huge time commitment, but it can be a lot of memories and a lot of cool experiences.
Definitely. But what about all the unknown possible acts that are going to walk through that that venue?
You get those seats too.
You got those seats too. Yeah. You said you literally are sitting on your tickets are printed money for 30 years.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I hope so. Garth Brooks is the first one, I think.
Oh.
They can have those tickets. So.
Really?
Yeah, for
well,
me.
It,
yeah,
I'll take them. That'd be a great giveaway on Dadcast.
Yeah.
Telling you we would become number one in everything for the world if that were to happen.
I think the first event outside of a concert is Arizona BYU. They have some sort of game.
That's coming up.
Bowl game or preseason bowl game or something like that. Yeah.
I got an email for that, you know, because I'm a Raider fan and I'm on the Raider email list. Pre-order your tickets now. I'm like, oh my gosh! And it's like BYU versus Arizona. I'm like, maybe if USC or UCLA shows up.
The field is cool, man. Have you guys seen how the field retracts in it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sweet, man. They did a good job with this.
It is literally
Vegas can build anything.
The
though.
Sweetest
anything you can dream of. Vegas can build it.
Oh, that's it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it is so. It's the that and SoFi now in LA.
Yeah.
Are the two probably sweetest stadiums in all the NFL. Yep. But
they're brand new.
Raiders, that Death Star is better because it's the Raiders. Yeah. Jordan Farmar.
Appreciate you guys.
On behalf of myself, JP, and Nick Martin, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day.
Thank you, man. I guess I'll see you guys on Father's Day.
We will, and definitely 2-on-1. I might have to bring some backup.
All right.
Okay, I might bring my 10-year-old with me.
You know, Ben played pro ball in Australia.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
I need him on my team if you guys bring some more backup.
No.
Three on one.
Yes.
Okay. No, we'll split up the pros. We'll get you and JP and me and Ben or vice versa.
Okay. Yeah. Give Jordan the fat guy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty athletic though. Don't let the physique fool you.
Set a good screen. We good.
Okay. You guy and I push some weight, man.
There we go.
You can. You know, this guy can run to me full speed. I will. I ain't budging. I'm telling you.
It's gonna hurt though, man.
All right. Thank you once again for coming on Dadcast. It's been an honor. We appreciate it. This has been one of my favorite experiences I've had at least all day.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. It's been literally
been listening to cars
this year.
Welded together.
Yeah, but now it's quiet down. We're pretty good. I like to end every single episode with one of these.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Dadcast.
And we'll see you all next week. Jordan Farmar, thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.